नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading these verses in the commentaries prompted some inspiration that I wanted to share. The section that we're reading, chapter 26, is a conversation between the Vrijbasis, particularly the cowherd men, and Nanda Maharaj, who they look up to as wise, their leader, their one who they trust fully, and they're bringing their perplexity or their astonishment at what Krishna just did, the Govardhan Lila. And to explain who is this boy and how is he doing these amazing things, Nanda very calmly, confidently repeats what he heard from Garga Muni. This is Canto 10, Chapter 26. And what he said was in Chapter 8. And in the commentary, we're going to hear the gopis speaking about what Garga Muni said to Nanda Maharaj. Meaning everybody knew and they had different understandings based upon their mood of love for Krishna, what was meant by the words of Garga Muni. And in the very explicit message that Garga Muni is giving is not exposing the fact that Krishna is Narayan, but he has powers like Narayan. He doesn't want to disturb their affection. What's being used over and over again is their natural affection. The natural affection indicates the affection that one has, the residents of Vrindavan have, for the original form of the personality of Godhead from whom everything comes, this Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. It's the Eti Changsa Kala Pungsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that important verse, Canto 1, Chapter 3, upon which all rest of the Bhagavatam is supported, the foundational verse, Paribhasha Sutra. So, in those verses, the truths about Krishna, we mentioned this yesterday, truths about Krishna are being revealed by Garga Muni. And our acharyas, in their commentary, are disclosing truths about Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, that don't simply teach us Krishna is the source of everything. I mean, that's a simple definition of the absolute truth or a simple definition of God. That which or he who is the source of everything, that's the absolute truth, that's God. But even more specifically, the commentary of our acharyas are disclosing another truth, that truth of the special love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, to understand all of this, like the truths that Gargamuni is revealing and our acharyas are assisting us in understanding, it's really high. It's like over our head. And it invites or encourages us to go and very carefully study the prior cantos, 1 through 9, and have really good foundation in Bhagavad Gita and the other bhakti shastras, shastras. So, but the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the gift of Brajaprem. And Bhagavatam is the scriptural basis for that Brajaprem, and our acharyas understand it. And they're giving it. And who are we? We're these, you know, little jivas that are, you know, struggling. But that sound vibration is meant to awaken this natural love for Krishna as the residents of Vrindavan have it. That's the potency and the purpose. So while it's really high, we're reading along using our mundane sensibilities, or, you know, we're used to processing things in illusion or using our mind and senses. Does this match what my mind and senses are familiar with? And it doesn't match. I mean, some things seem to match, and it's like we're comfortable with that because it matches, and there's some things that, whoa, they doesn't match. So we're left in this space. If we're just relying upon the speculative powers or the capacity of the mind to order sound vibrations and sense perceptions in a way that's recognizable, and it's not recognizable. So we're left simply hearing with faith. And how wonderful is Krishna? Because that's the chapter. Wonderful Krishna. This astonishment opportunity is taking us into deeper picture of who Krishna really is. So he's not just avatari, because that was described in earlier sections. It's also in Brahma's prayers in chapter 14. But who is he really? And the more from what we were reading yesterday, Brahma's prayers verses 25 through 29, the more we can get a sense of the source of everything, the more we're going to understand ourselves. And the more that we can understand ourselves, the more that we can become free from the misconception of who we're not, that, you know, the body and mind. You know, the troubles of the mind and the troubles of the body. Adi Atmika Klesha, Adi Bhautika Klesha, Adi Daivika Klesha. The miseries of material existence subside. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't get old and you don't die. But identifying with the circumstances and, you know, have a troubled mind. But it just fades. That's the potency. Like, you know, and putting in simple language, everyone should be happy. And then, but they do not know what is the means to become happy, or what is happiness, or what is love, or what is, you know, the illusion is accepted as reality. So these sound vibrations help us get to reality. And part of getting to reality is letting go of non-reality, illusion. We're holding on to illusion, so it's a bit of a struggle to stay with it. But the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers who are giving commentary want to take us to reality, and the topmost reality, even were unqualified. Please take it. That's the mood. Just unrestricted compassion. Resting upon the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is really high. 10th canto is superlative. So, that's what we're doing. we'll be discussing two verses this morning. 10:26:21 and 22. So this is continuing with Nanda Maharaj explaining to the cowherd men, who is this boy, his son? And he's just repeating verbatim, because he has a good memory, exactly what Nanda Maharaj said. It's not Kali Yuga, he doesn't forget. He remembers what Gargamuni said, word for word. So text 21. Translation. Demons cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to all auspicious Krishna cannot be defeated by enemies. Like hint, like Kamsa. Or the other demons that came that Krishna killed that were recited earlier. And the very short purport in the BBT publication, Srila Prabhupada has especially indicated in this connection that just as Lord Krishna's associates could not be defeated by Kamsa, so his modern day devotees will not be defeated by their demoniac opponents, nor will the Lord's devotees be defeated by internal enemies - the lusty material senses. Now some people are defeated by them, and that means that they slackened in their submission to Krishna. So the protection is the submission to Krishna. That's our protection. And then we're protected from demons and our own internal enemies. And otherwise we're vulnerable. So now we're going to go back to the translation of 10:8:18. This is when Gargamuni originally said these things. And there's no Prabhupada purport for this particular verse. But here's portions of our Acharya's commentary. This is Jiva Goswami. Men who show affection for most fortunate Krishna Mahabhage are not defeated by demons. Manava means any jiva. That means so. It's not any jiva, not just the Vrijbasis. Arayaha means enemies like the demons or internal enemies like lust. Enemies cannot conquer them, just as demons cannot conquer the devatas. And here's Sanatan Goswami. All humans, without regard for birth, who show affection for Krishna are protected from enemies. Actually, he appears among humans to show affection for them. But Garga hides this fact. The external enemies are Kamsa and others. The internal enemies are lust, etc. Similarly, the demons cannot harm the devatas, or the materialists cannot harm the devotees. You should never fear Kamsa or his allies. And here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commentary. Now he's commenting, there's a section where this verse, this morning's verse, is referred to by the gopis. So the gopis knew what Garga said to Nanda. It's like, we can assume, lots of Brajbasis, if not everybody knew what Garga said. So this is now in the section that precedes Gopi Gita section of the Bhagavatam. It's chapter 29. Commentary, 10:29-33. Some other gopis strengthened their argument by citing the behavior of saintly persons. In this verse, Vrajagopis, quote, "Anyone who develops love for you, who are endowed with the eight good qualities, is not defeated by the enemies such as lust. Just as followers of Vishnu are not defeated by demons, we heard this from Gargamuni." And they recite the verse. "Those who have faith," this is now paraphrasing what the gopis say, "those who have faith in this statement are truly intelligent, and those who are intelligent have love for you." Then, "This love is natural and eternally present in their hearts. You are the object of possession for them, Sva, and you are eternally the object of affection, Nitya Priya, for them, possession and affection." That's the natural love that's being characterized by the love of the gopis or the residents of Vrindavan. "Whereas the affection they have for their husbands, sons, and family are only conditional and therefore temporary." Now, Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha. So there's six Sandarbhas. Starts with Tattva Sandarbha. Then it goes to Paramatma Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha. That's the first four. So this is Krishna's, not of the features of Bhagavan, Krishna is the superlative. That's Krishna Sandarbha. Having killed Ravana, Rama, along with Lakshmana, brought Sita back. His mind was filled with anxiety. Sita, made of Maya, gave people faith. Oh, to give people faith, entered blazing fire. The fire burned her up. Thus burned up the false, having burned up the false Sita, the fire god, shining brightly, showed Rama the real Sita. Fire thus became dear to the devatas. Grasping his 2 feet, Sita, daughter of Janaka, offered her respects to Ram, overjoyed. Rama, with wide eyes, seeing this, offered respects to the fire with his head and satisfied him. He said, "O fire, O great one, this woman, having been burned by you, has by good fortune come to my side." This is quoting Kurma Purana. So it's Jiva Goswami and Krishna Sandarbha. Then listen to this. One should also see Agni Purana, though this is not made clear by Valmiki. His not mentioning it serves to nourish Karuna Rasa. Now what's Karuna Rasa? That's the Goswami's, it's Rupa Goswami's term for this feeling of sadness or what's the word that is commonly used? Huh? Lamentation. There's another word that's used. Sorrow. There we go. It's a secondary rasa, like astonishment is a secondary rasa. So this is Jiva Goswami saying Valmiki didn't mention it purposefully because it was to enhance something that's really important to Valmiki, which is nourishing sorrow or Karuna rasa. The secondary rasa. He didn't mention it. Now, I know people that like Valmiki Ramayana, and they're like, this false Sita thing is, you know, over there. We're not, you know, it was Sita. There's no mention of Valmiki Ramayana. The false Sita was stolen, so we're like, it's over there. Anyway, that's fine to have that strong faith, and it nourishes sorrow. And Jiva Goswami is saying what Kurma Purana said is true, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it was true. To the Brahman, the Rambhakta that he met, and then he brought the Kurma Purana passage back and showed him. See, it's true. So in any case, one can have this perspective, that perspective, and it's just rasa. The arrangement for explanation sometimes depends on someone else, Jiva Goswami writes. Paragraph. Chaste women have power, and more particularly the Lord's women have power. Then he quotes this verse that we just read this morning. Enemies cannot harm the devotees who show affection for this greatly fortunate child, just as demons cannot harm the devatas. This is Garga's general statement. This Maya, who serves Krishna, can produce any kind of protection, like the household fire of Rama, which protected Sita. The spiritual forms were concealed. This is the gopis now, chapter 29 of Canto 10. The spiritual forms were concealed when getting married and sleeping with their apparent husbands. This happened at other times in relation to others also. This was suitable for Maya, since her only goal was to increase longing and protect their morality. Paragraph. The spiritual forms, Swarup Siddha, were present when they spoke to Yashoda in Bhagavatam 10:35-14, when they stopped serving their husbands and children, 10:29-7, and when they were prevented from joining Krishna, 10:29-8. Other examples can also be found. So, I didn't read lots of the commentary, but it's a big deal for our commentators to make reference to this verse we just read this morning to explain what's really going on with the gopis being in their relationship with Krishna. So one of the points of emphasis that Jiva Goswami makes in his commentary on the Gopi Gita section over and over and over and over and over, it's like, okay, I get it. These gopis are expansions of Radha. Krishna is enjoying with his own expansions, and there's nothing immoral, say it conversely. It is immoral if one man who has a duly married wife enjoys with other women, because there's, within the boundaries of Dharma, being with one's duly married wife is dharmic, provided it's followed according to the code. But another woman, that's adharmic. But for Krishna, it's not another woman, it's Radha and Radha's expansions. There's nothing adharmic. That's his point of emphasis repeatedly. These gopis are expansions of Radha, and Radha's its internal pleasure potency. So nothing adharmic. It's similar to the discussion with the Ramanadis, the North Indian sect in Jaipur, or near Jaipur, where they were objecting to Radha being worshipped with Govindaji. And the commentary that Baladev Bidyabhusan wrote to justify that comes in the Priti Sandarbha section. Excuse me. It comes in the fourth section of Vedanta Sutra that speaks of the potencies of the Lord and the Lord being with his potencies. So there he asserts in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Who is Radhas? That's Krishna's internal potency. So there's nothing adharmic with Krishna being with Radha, although the Leela doesn't show they're married. It's not adharmic, because that was their objection. And then similarly, the goddesses of fortune, they're expansions of Radharani in the hierarchy of everything. So it's fundamental to understand Brajendra Nandana Krishna, or the Krishna who's just lifted Govardhan Hill, is the original personality of Godhead. To understand the complexity of things that can be bewildering about what's what, it's a fundamental understanding, and then expanding it and expanding it in different ways. So this is being expanded specific. What Garga Muni said is an explanation given by Jiva Goswami about how the gopis are not immoral because they're under the protection of the Supreme Lord. It's a different argument than this other argument of Jiva Goswami. So they have spiritual forms, and they have other than spiritual forms. And those other than spiritual forms were with their husbands, and their spiritual forms is what went to Krishna. That's the Acharya's explanation. And they were protected. Because their love was natural, being on this totally spiritual platform. The cause and power that prevented others from harming them is shown. Enemies cannot harm the devotees who show affection for a greatly fortunate child, just as the demons cannot harm the devatas. Here we go. Last section. Though it is said they had children, it refers to the children of the husband's relatives. If they had children, it would produce rasabhasa because of irregularity in the vibhava. Interesting, huh? What do we understand about this? So now we're going on to text 22. So this is a concluding, therefore, tasmat. Oh, Nanda. This child of yours is as good as Narayana. In his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence, he is exactly like Narayana. Thus, you should not be astonished by his activities. Now, they were astonished. The word in his Garga's statement is vismaya. Vismaya, surprise or astonishment. And the purport to this verse, text 26, is Nanda here reports to the cowherd men the concluding remarks of Garga Muni, who spoke at a secret birth ceremony of Lord Krishna. And here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this chapter 26 verse, text 22. Nanda wished to remove their present realization of Krishna's lordship and increase their understanding of him as their son, brother, and friend. Therefore, in repeating Garga's words, he does not say your son, but this boy, so that the inhabitants would feel that Krishna was not only his son, but theirs as well. He didn't say my son, he said this boy. So he was nourishing their parental affection. Though they had seen his powers, they should not give up their affection, because that was mentioned in the statements earlier. Why do we have such affection for him and he for us? They should not give up their affection and should continue to give blessings to him daily. Meaning, don't get overwhelmed with divinity idea, please. Just have affection, please. And give your blessing because you're elder and he's a little boy. Like Narayana, quote unquote, means that Narayana's power had entered Krishna, not that Krishna was Narayana. It is just like the jewel named Suryakanta, which is called thus because of some likeness to the sun. You know Suryakanta? It's mentioned in Brahma Samhita. The child was not God, nor was he an ordinary human, but someone who could perform extraordinary deeds. This great personality has come as the ornament of our family lineage. Thus, at the conclusion of his statement, Garga said, quote, his activity should not be bewildering to you. Because of his wonderful activities, you should not think of him as God. You should make him the object of your compassion by blessing him. Live a long life. You should not be neutral to him. Nanda then repeated Garga's statement. Protect him well. By removing the cowherd men's bewilderment, their doubts are removed. Great ending, huh? So I'm going to... Okay, that was Vishwanath's commentary. Here comes Jiva Goswami's commentary. The first line and last line differ from Garga's words. Parentheses, therefore, this child of Nanda is equal to Narayan, and you should protect this child very carefully. From text 19, this is 22. Out of humility, he hints that everyone should protect the child with possessiveness, since he has extraordinary qualities, but states in another way, namely, one should not be surprised by his activities. This child of Nanda is equal to Narayana in qualities. One should not be astonished by the activities of this son, who is like Narayana, and who has been blessed by his powers. You should not become indifferent to protecting him by becoming astonished. In other words, so if he has the powers of Narayan, what do you need to protect him for? Don't give up your seeing him as your son. So give him this possessiveness and give him your blessings and give him your undying affection and all of that. Don't change that position. Nanda also indicates, do not be astonished that he is the natural object of prema and naturally feels prema, unquote. They are, however, not aware that the cause of that love is that their relationship is natural and eternal. They were aware of Garga's words previously, for after killing Bakka, they said, so in an earlier chapter, they already knew Garga's words. The Bakka killing. The words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman have never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Garga Muni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. But the whole picture was in seven verses. So now we're going to go back and hear this chapter 26 verse spoken in chapter 8. And we're going to hear commentaries and then we're going to end because of time. There's more to go. The Prabhupada's purport in chapter 8 reads, in this verse, the word Narayana Samaha is significant. Narayana has no equal. He is Asamurdva. No one is equal to him, no one is greater than him, as stated in the Shastra from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 18, it says that. One who equates Narayana, even with great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, is a Pashandi, an agnostic. One who can equal, no one can equal Narayana. Nevertheless, Gargamuni used the word Sama, which means equal, because he wanted to treat Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To become Nanda Maharaj's son, Gargamuni wanted to impress upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj, quote, your worshipable deity, Narayana, is so pleased with you that he has sent your son almost equal to him in qualifications. Therefore, you may designate your son with a similar name, such as Mukunda or Madhusudana. But you must always remember that whenever you want to do something very good, there will be many hindrances. Therefore, you should raise and protect this child with great care. If you can protect the child very cautiously, as Narayana always protects you, the child will be as good as Narayana. That's Prabhupada's purport. Gargamuni also indicated that although the child was exaltedly qualified like Narayana, he would enjoy more than Narayan as Rasa Vihari, the central enjoyer of the Rasa dance, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam. He would be served by many gopis who would all be as good as the goddess of fortune. Jiva Goswami's commentary on 10.8.19. Krishna is similar or equal to the Lord of Vaikuntha by qualities, fame, wealth, and influence. The hidden meaning, Samaha, is, quote, he to whom Narayana is similar. He has more qualities than Narayana by showing similarity of an object of comparison with the main object, lesser status of the object of comparison is indicated. Very clever. Krishna is superior in qualities, such as being fixed in dharma and mercy, and is superior in his form, external manifestations, as mentioned, his wealth, his fame, because of his good qualities and his influence. But he is born as your son, colon, he hides his powers and is obedient to you. Very carefully protect him during his infancy. Actually, he said this so that Nanda's affection for Krishna would increase. Also protect him with all your might during his infancy and after as well. His fame, kirtya, refers to Krishna's inherent fame, and his fame for being Nanda's son, which will be attractive to all people. Instead of gopya, susamahita, there's other versions of the Bhagavatam that says it's slightly different. Anyway. The ordinary meaning of the verse is as follows. Because Krishna is like Narayana, he will have Narayana's names. And he will have other characteristics like Narayana. Thus the gopis and others call Krishna by names like Mukunda, which were made known by Nanda. Nanda Mahaja, O Nanda, your son, also means your son who produces bliss. And we'll just read one more because of time. Sanatan Goswami's commentary on 10.8.19. Krishna is similar or equal to the Lord of Vaikuntha by qualities, fame, wealth, influence. Since Yashoda and others heard this, later in the 21st chapter, the gopis praise Krishna with names like Mukunda. He is like Narayana in qualities, etc., but greater than Narayana by using an analogy with Narayana. The object under discussion is greater than the object in comparison. The qualities are mercy, etc. Shri refers to wealth or beauty. Kirti means fame. Anubhava means knowledge or power. Reference to quality indicates the six qualities of Bhagavan. These are then described with other words like Sri Kirti and Anubhava. Vairagya is unsuitable, so it is not mentioned. Anubhava, parentheses, Aishvarya and Virya, also includes knowledge and dharma, as well as power. You should protect him with all his qualities, beauty, etc. Some devotees, such as Balabha, say that Narayana has three forms. Anyway, I won't go there. Protect him with great attention or with devotion. With attention, protect him during his childhood to increase affection or out of fear of Kamsa, or hide him. Do not reveal him everywhere. By good fortune, you have attained a great treasure. The ordinary meaning of the verse is as follows. Because Krishna is like Narayan, he will have Narayan's names. And when you have other characteristics like Narayan, O Nanda, Nanda can also be a verb meaning be happy. So there's more commentary, but time has lapsed. We'll maybe carry on tomorrow. These are important verses, this circling back to where we started this morning's class. They're repeated and repeated and repeated by the Brijbasis, and they're understood in different ways according to the affection, the natural relationship that different Brijbasis have for Krishna. And Nanda has his interpretation, or his recognition of the message that was being passed on. And an emphasis that we're hearing from the commentary is Nanda wants to sustain and support their natural affection, that is, their parental affection, towards Krishna. Now, why is that? Because it's pleasing to Krishna. So he's doing what he's doing because his life is to please Krishna. So in a egocentric way, we may think, commonly think of rasa as something that we experience, but a broader picture, more complete picture, is it's Krishna's happiness. And Krishna's happiness is unlimited, and there's diversity amongst that unlimited happiness. So the residents of Vraja, they're giving Krishna happiness in different ways. So The language is to support that which gives Krishna happiness. And they're happy to give Krishna happiness. So they go along with Nanda Maharaj because he's an instrument of Krishna's happiness in a very special way. Particularly speaking to the elder, cowherd man. So they have parental affection like he has parental affection. He's nourishing that by Krishna's arrangement. So again, the curtain has been drawn back. Here's his divinity. And now it's like, it's not his divinity. Let's close that curtain. And he has powers like Narayan, but he's my son and he's your son. So please have affection for him like your son. And as he has affection for you, it's holding, you know, the curtain's drawn back again now. So, and we, you know, we're conditioned souls, in case you didn't recognize. We're conditioned souls. And we're just trying to get it that, you know, there's a source of everything. And Krishna is that source of everything. And then, you know, we're getting the curtain opened that, you know, he's not only the source of everything, but the highest form of love. This is Rupa Goswami's teaching in Nectar Devotion. Those of you who have studied it, you know. Sadhana Bhakti leads to Bhava Bhakti, leads to Prema Bhakti. And in the higher stages of Sadhana Bhakti is this Raghunuga Bhakti. And that's what we're doing, is stimulating that. We're not there yet, but it's being stimulated by these. And when we're there, the purity has come to the point where it's not no longer, well, is Krishna, is there a source of everything? And is that source of everything Krishna? Yet by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, it's not just brainwashing. It's not like making one believe something just by hearing it again and again, like propaganda, false propaganda. It's the original consciousness. When we come to that stage where this is the original consciousness, who I am is meant for Krishna's pleasure, then some eligibility will already be in place by hearing the way that we're hearing of the spontaneous love of the resonance in Vrindavan. And one becomes attracted to a particular mood of some of the residents of Vrindavan, either this way, that way, and meditating on a Ragatmika Bhakta in Braja. And that's the Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti stage. The regular thing goes on. So, what good fortune? Who can understand? We don't. Even hearing how fortunate, we don't really understand it. But somehow or another, and this is the mercy of our founder Acharya, let everyone be happy. And that real happiness, one more time, because it came from our discussion yesterday evening with the verses and commentary, to get to the point where we don't accept illusion to be reality, the rope to be a snake, that's the illusion. It's not a rope, it's a snake. And then other feelings besides, you know, the feelings of a rope is a snake, it's objects out there are opportunities for me to be an enjoyer of. That's what this world is. The rebellious toward Krishna paradigm. And then we struggle because that's not what it is. We feel negative emotions because we have the wrong paradigm. Illusion is reality. And rubbing our hands together, I'm meant to be the enjoyer, and we get smacked and we keep going like donkeys, just keep going. And aside from like escapism, I don't like this getting slapped around by the material energy, let me check out. That's another feature of illusion. It's still not knowing who we are, check out. And so who are we? And to understand who we are, what we heard yesterday is, and in the last few days actually, the Brahma's prayers, is to understand what's reality. Bhagavan is the topmost feature of Sat. the absolute truth in its fullness. And the more we can understand Sat, the absolute truth in fullness, the mistaken understanding of ourselves will be diminished, and the misidentification will be diminished, awakening of our true identity, and then the suffering and the struggle, and it's just, we're still, you know, it's coronavirus, so we're doing our, what we're supposed to do. But meanwhile, we're on a journey of knowing who we are and becoming truly happy and not struggling with the struggles of the temporary. And connecting, this connecting with that which is the source of everything is our real business. Human form of life's business. And the days are ticking. Time is passing. And some eagerness to get there is good. Not feel, oh, I'm not going fast enough. That's not so good. Eagerness to get there, that's good. Don't succumb to lamentation and, oh, I'm not there yet. I'm still struggling. That's because of long-standing involvement in the material energy. Let me become more enthusiastic to get there. Turn the light on and darkness is dispelled. Make the light brighter and brighter and brighter. The darkness is dispelled. So, well, I try, then it's unsteady. So, okay, keep trying. And like, you know, then the darkness of ignorance is dispelled. The accepting of illusion to be reality is diminished. The struggle for material existence, because that this verse was quoted several times by the Acharyas, the Daivihi Esha Gunamayi verse of Bhagavad Gita. Mama Maya Duratyaya. There is an option to that struggle. Mama Vaya Prapadyante. And the Prapadyante method is primarily begun and continues through hearing, through sound. So that's what we're doing. And very mystically, the potencies invested in that sound vibration cleanse and carry us to the destination, even where frail, tiny, quite imperfect living entities. That's faith in the process. And with that, that's increasing the effectiveness of the process, our enthusiasm, our application, intensity of aspiring to get there. Not just aspiring to get free from, you know, the unwanted stuff, the desire to get to reality. To know who we are, to know who is Krishna. And is there any literature like this in the world? There's lots of literature in the modes of nature, but there's no literature like this that I'm aware of. There's something, a little slice over here, a little slice over there, but nothing like this. It's superlative literature, and it just immersion. So we're spending our time each morning. An immersion experience. See if there's any discussion. It's already 8:00.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for this morning discussion. It's very inspiring and heart touching. In the beginning of the class, you mentioned the verse says, we cannot be defeated. One who is attached to Krishna cannot be defeated by these internal enemies. You did mention in the beginning, when we see we are getting defeated, it's because of the slackening of the submission. Guru Maharaj, I've been contemplating on this message from you in one of the japa retreats. Distracted chanting leads to more distracted chanting. And in this particular, this morning discussion, the slackening of submission leads to senses being defeated, and the defeated sense leads to further slackening. It feels kind of a vicious cycle.
Feels kind of what?
Vicious cycle, like I'm just kind of keep going through that. It takes a lot of effort for me to come out of that cycle.
Well, welcome to the club. You're a card-carrying member of the Vicious Cycle Club. So in other words, it's not unfamiliar territory. It's called Anishita Bhakti. That's a stage. So now what do you do when you're in this stage and it's hard to come out? You keep striving. That's what the clearing stage of chanting is all about. And you just keep going. You know, the nectar devotion message is like a child walking. How many times might a young child that doesn't know yet how to walk, that's just motor skills, but they tumble and tumble and tumble and just keep walking. And as long as they're not like the power of locomotion has been withdrawn by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, They'll eventually learn how to walk. Just keep trying. So it's not like, oh, I'm one whose bhakti capacity has been taken away by Krishna. Not so. Not so. So if it's a struggle, you just keep struggling. But you keep not just struggling, but turning attention to the next step. And reaching the next step and just keep moving. That, you know, this, the vicious cycle or the cycle, the repetition of, falling short of, sustained, nishtha, that you have to pass through the anartha vritti stage, however long that takes. That's the requirement. That's the answer to your, I mean, it's not just recently, this is my observation, is this is the nature of the questions you ask for, you know, months on end. It's, you know, the words are different, but the theme is quite similar. And, you know, it's just being honest in your expression, so there's nothing harmful to ask the same question again and again, because but the answer is, it's, faith will be nourished by acting according to proper teachings. Somebody sent me something yesterday that Revati Nandan Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, was saying, you know, Swamiji, Prabhupada, you're higher than a Paramahansa. Paramahansa is the topmost stage. You're beyond Paramahansa. Prabhupada's reply, no. I'm less than you. And then the devotee said, Revati Nandan said something like, you're beautiful. And although you're in this exalted position, you're reaching out to those of us who are so, incapable or something like that. And then Prabhupada repeated it. I'm less than you, I'm less than you. And if there's some credit, it's just following the instructions of the spiritual master. Then repeated it two more times. Following the instructions of the spiritual master is one's glory or strength or capacity. And just by following the instructions of the spiritual master, one can go beyond being, incapable. It can make, so he was emphasizing, that's what he saw. It wasn't just a promotion of an idea. That was what his strength was. The instruction of his spiritual master carried him. to a position of what he achieved. You know, and, you know, Mission Impossible became not only possible, but it went even beyond his own expectation. So that was his glory, his faithfulness in carrying out the instruction. So it's not like, well, I haven't gotten any instruction. Come on. There's abundant instruction. So then with faith, take up as much with whatever faith one has, one takes up and tries to grow that faith and stay steadfast. Even I'm in this unsteady stage, the cycle stage, as you put it. With faith, I carry on, expecting Krishna's mercy all the while. That's the solution. As you know, the nature of the questions that you ask are answered in that way. There's nothing wrong with you. It's quite natural that you're in that stage. And however long it takes, you can continue. And it may be someone else goes faster, someone else goes slower, someone else isn't even taking it up. Someone else is already there. Don't compare yourself to others. Just your situation is what your situation is. And accept that this is my situation. Let me continue and go the next step. Just do that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The first ones, the translation, demigods are not defeated by the demons.
Could you turn the speaker my direction? The speaker, just because I... Thank you. Go ahead.
The demigods are not defeated by the demons.
Yes.
But sometimes we see temporarily maybe...
Temporarily, yes.
So in the analogy, I mean, the purport, we heard that, I mean, that because of this slackening, the devotees also sometimes fall prey to the internal or external
yes.
things. How do we understand, I mean, is it also kind of a temporary because sometimes...
Well, it can be temporary. Let's go to the Brijbasis or the associates of Ramchandra. It looks like they were defeated. But then Krishna came to the rescue, or Ramchandra came to the rescue, and they weren't defeated. So it can be temporarily just a rasa feature, or it can be a, as was mentioned, a slackening feature in the unsteady bhakti stage. Submission, then slackening and submission. So there's from Krishna's side with his devotees, and there's from our side in relation to Krishna. But when the submission to Krishna is there, even the temporary is still ecstatic. The danger is ecstatic and the relief from the danger is ecstatic. Krishna's protection hasn't subsided. Clear?
Yeah, that is clear, but at my stage, I mean, how do I...
How do you process? Stay, same as her question. You know, my personal situation is, I'm in this unsteady bhakti stage, and sometimes. That's from my side, not from Krishna's side. The unsteadiness is from my side. And I just accept from my side, sometimes the clarity is greater. Sometimes things get more covered and I become more forgetful and get involved in material complexities and try to, you know, become, going into problem-solving mode and get lost in the material energy sometimes. And sometimes there's, you know, back to clarity again. It's like the weather in Chicago. but that's my condition. Now, what do I do? Strive for steadiness. How do I do that? Well, when I get down, I just get back up again. No, worldly people live by that principle. Philosophical, there's this nice quote from Confucius. it says something like, "What a man's greatness is not if he never falls, but when he falls, he always gets back up again." And that's like, you know, mode of goodness kind of message. And then there's bhakti. It's, you're not alone. Fortunately. Not just dependent upon, you know, the configuration of your modes of nature today. There's more mode of goodness so I can get back up again. It's mercy. So that's the bhakti power is beyond, is help beyond your own strength. And Krishna, if we become complacent, Krishna doesn't forget us. You have a child. You have children. So if they become whatever, naughty or something, you don't like, get out of the house. You can't come back until you stop being naughty. You're not going to do that. Krishna won't do that. He has affection. And the affection will be displayed differently to reciprocate with us and according to, you know, a standard that we don't even know how to help us get back to Godhead, but he does. So his vigilance, his protectiveness continues even when we become slackened. So this is that temporary thing. Now we're not aware. Your children may not be aware of your unconditional affection for them. Supposing you're, you know, like a super duper father. Unconditional affection. And that affection may show itself in a differently, but an affection is always there. So you're not alone. That's that part, second part. Even when you're in this, you know, what about me? I'm unsteady and there's temporary this and temporary that. Krishna doesn't forget. He's always there. And then there's degrees of how are we connect with Krishna, and then Krishna reciprocates with that as well in a loving way. Including with the Brijbasis who have some difficulty, or the associates of Ram who have some difficulty, and then the difficulty gets resolved. Yay! Ram has come back to Ayodhya. Victory to Ram. 14 years. Anything else? Online questions?
I have one question from the union classes. Can I ask you later?
Okay.
Rajita Mataji was asking, is our journey as devotees moving towards a clearer and clearer sense of our identity, like clarity on who we are, and expression of that identity, but always dovetail with the knowledge of our place as servant of or at Krishna's lotus feet?
Well, that's ideal. And then there's the unsteady stage in between the ideal and where we are. But yes, that's ideal. That's our journey.
Prem Tarangni Mataji asks, Guru Maharaj, is it only slackening of submission that causes unsteadiness? Isn't also just not having sufficient faith or taste for Krishna Katha or scriptures?
Well, that's off in my way of saying things. It's Bhakti Siddhanta's language, but That's like an umbrella, and there's different parts of the umbrella, but it's like saying, for example, like saying chant and be happy. That's all, you know. So, well, wait a minute. You chant, but it's not just chant. There's things that you have to do when you chant, like, you know, avoid offenses, and you know, there's other conditions, but those are subsets of this simple sutra-like statement. Just chant Krishna's name and everything will come to pass. Then there's interactive choices that one makes, you know, in the subset of submission. Submission's like surrender. It's like there's limbs of surrender and then there's sublimbs of those limbs and so forth. So to keep it simple, it's complexity is fine, but keeping it simple is submission. And then there's subsets of submission. That's how I look at it anyway. Yeah.
Okay. There's a continuation.
Okay, fine.
Keshav Kishore Prabhu asks, I think steadiness comes from habit, determination, sincerity and conviction. However, we have good and bad days, but our faith remains the same. Correct me if I'm not.
Well, steadiness certainly is in terms of effort. And steadiness, some measure of steadiness has to do with interruptions in our attentiveness while we're steady in our effort. So that is to say, steadiness is measured by anartha nivritti, how complete it is. So we make effort that seems to be steady, but due to anarthas, our effort gets distracted. We all experience that. And then, the light goes on, oh, I got distracted. And wherever the mind wanders. And so for example, this message shared before, problem solving. There's problems. Now, should we be inattentive to problems and just be in this surrender, submission to Krishna? That's what steadiness is. When we're addressing problems and solutions to problems, it's that connection with Krishna consciousness. That's what steadiness is. We don't like, let's say the coronavirus thing. We don't like become cavalier to the threat. Not only ourselves, but those who we associate with if we're not careful. So we're careful in service to Krishna. And that's steady. When you're the service to Krishna mood is there, the bhakti principle is there. It's not taken away. Attention isn't taken away by anarthas, like problem solving. Everything gets connected to that one thing. That's steadiness. It's not just effort.
Actually, there is more to Premitarini Mataji's question, more part. Should I read it?
Yeah, sure.
Isn't there a difference between lack of sufficient faith and therefore being unable to act on something and having that faith and not acting on it, which to me feels like slackening?
Yes. 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 Emphasis can go over here and things can be said as subsets of the emphasis over here. Emphasis can go over there and things are subsets of the emphasis over there. And it's a different way of looking at the same thing. So yes. There is scriptural support for the saying faith is everything. And there's degrees of faith, and then things are subsets of that degree of faith that we have, including submission. That's fine.
This question is from Stira Mataji. We may follow some instructions better than other. How do we see that?
Some persons?
Some instructions better than other.
So we're able to follow some instructions better than some other instructions.
Better than I'm able to follow one instruction better than the another.
And so the question is why?
How do we see that?
How do we see that?
Yeah.
You see it as it is. I'm submissive over here and not so submissive over there. That's we see it as it is.
And this is a final question from Gopinath. In spite of this knowledge, how did Nanda Baba sometimes think it was good fortune or heavenly beings that saved Krishna sometimes from danger?
It's love. He's in this, he doesn't need a justification for his love is spontaneous and sometimes he feels this and sometimes he feels that. But Krishna is at the center always.
Sri Radhika Mataji was asking, at least at a conscious level, one can cultivate an attempt to give up the mentality of trying to enjoy. But I find it hard to give up the desire to at least be comfortable in this sojourn. So I understand that even this attempt to be comfortable is the flip side of this same enjoying coin.
Yes.
But I justify it to myself as only human.
Yes.
How to go beyond this attempt to make life comfortable, because I'm sure this is also counterproductive to pure bhakti.
Well, it's on the one hand, it's counterproductive to bhakti. On the other hand, it's recognizing our needs. She's very familiar with that language. For someone, feeling comfortable is a need. I know some people that, you know, being on the edge is their need. They move to the edge because that's just their nature. So someone feeling comfortable, that's their nature. So, you know, we recognize that's a need and then proceed. And yes, it's same kind of principle base, you know, me-centered consciousness. So we work with whatever our nature is and our needs are, and we look to Krishna. And we engage in the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam process and become cleansed. And then the feeling comfortable principle gets diminished because something becomes more important to us. But it's, you know, not artificial. It's using this language that's being used by your acharyas here. It's natural. Our natural consciousness becomes restored. And then we have no problem, quote, being uncomfortable.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Amara Mataji asks, what are the indications to know if one is speculating?
The principle, one explanation that Prabhupada gave of speculation that's unfavorable is if it doesn't lead to the conclusions of scripture and the teachings of our acharyas and so forth. But a favorable one, favorable use of that power of the mind is where it leads to a different conclusion, or, you know, the verification principle is lost. That is, guru, sadhu, shastra principle is lost. It's not the lens through which we're looking at things. So both in terms of conclusion as well as methodology, one should search the descending knowledge while we're trying to understand. That's, you could say, that's speculation. I don't know. I'd like to know. I'm trying to know. So that's a speculative, perhaps. So how do I know? Am I following the thread of descending knowledge while I'm trying to know? Or I'm somewhere over there speculating and then seeing, well, how does this match up with scripture? That's not recommended. Search through the medium of scripture. Therefore, it's important for us to become familiar with scripture.
This is actually Keshav Kishore Prabhu sent a follow-up for his comment saying that steadiness comes from habit, etc. He says that basically we should not be questioning and chastising ourselves for the slackening.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't submit to the mode of ignorance. Submit to the mode of goodness.
And this is a comment from Hema Mataji Surya Vanshi, Hema Surya Vanshi, saying that hearing this Q&A, I'm feeling assured about Krishna's love and protection and no need to worry and lament if I fail and if I failed, I just need to try to connect with Krishna in the way I can.
Good. Very good. We're done. You have something. Anyone else? You have something.
Evening class?
Okay. Jesus, 8:30.
So my question, Maharaj, like Lord Brahma, when he came to know about the Krishna is the Supreme Lord Narayana, so he was able to submit himself very easily.
He was able to do what?
Submit himself.
Submit himself, yeah. Okay.
I mean, whereas Indra, he was like, got more offensive. Right? I mean, in the beginning, until he was completely...
Well, then he cooled down.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is that quality that Brahma has? Because it is difficult to submit, because Brahma is one of the most intelligent persons in this universe. It was easy for him to do that, right? I mean, because in my case, if something is not happening as per my own thing, maybe...
As per your own...
I mean, whatever I think is the right...
Faith, yes. Is the word you used?
Not faith, I mean my own...
Projection of the way it should be.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very difficult to, I mean, agree to that process.
That's an obstacle.
I mean,
similar to Amara's question about speculation. It's not the same, but it's similar. And that is, so here's a situation that I'm not agreeable to. It shouldn't be like this. Now you have choices. You can just, so many choices. But supposing, for example, it's something at work. It's going away where somebody's, doing something cuckoo. And it's not going the way, so then you make choices. So it's not just something happens and a surrendered person just nods their head like a what do they call those little toys? A bobble toy. Just go, okay. So you're making choices and how you're going to respond to a situation that isn't going okay. It's not right. But there are some situations, one of the options, depending upon what the circumstance is, this is Krishna's arrangement for me to understand something about myself and how I react to circumstances that aren't going right. And when I'm making my choices, am I aligning those choices with the value that I have that I should choose what's going to be meaningful and pleasing to Krishna? Or is it just about me? That exercise that we had about, are the choices that I'm making aligned with my values? So there's different ways of looking at circumstances that aren't going the way that you feel they should be going. In some cases, you just accept. At the heart level. I mean, not like I like it. But
we don't need to acknowledge that I accepted it.
Well, at the heart level, yes. And then from that position, you have choices. The different things are irritating to different people or they see it's going not in a right way going into it. So I have to make some choices. Each of us have to make choices about things that are going wrong and make sure that you're aligning your thought process and the choices you make with some value that you hold. That's a good starting point because we're not really commonly not consistent with our own values. We're reacting and responding to circumstances because we don't like it. Not necessarily aligning that those feelings and the choices we make with values that we hold. So that's a good step for you and for all of us. Okay. Prabhupada ki.